When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I don't really do nostalgia. Revisiting old haunts isn't something I make a habit of. So on Monday the 28th of September, it was with a curious and uncertain unease that after an absence of more than 20 years, I strolled down the short, tree-lined drive off Glasnevin's Ballymun Avenue back to the place I got my degree, Dublin City University.
Now I'm standing in front of the DCU campus map. Crikey, that's big. The library's over there now. Residence car park. Residences sports complex. The hub. Oh, the Henry Grattan building is still there. Good. The Helix I know of. Multi-story car park. What's still here? The Albert College is still here. Oh, there's a creche. There's a second car park. Where's reception? Reception used to be in the Henry Grattan building. But it's not now, is it? Reception is over administration building beside the DCU Business School. That's where it is, isn't it? Okay. I'm supposed to meet Mary Cunningham, who's in charge of all the accommodation on campus, and they're putting me up for the week.
It immediately struck me that this was the first obvious change.
Mary, how are you?
Mr. Ben.
So, where are we going now?
We're heading off down to the campus.
On-campus accommodation only appeared about 5 years after I graduated, so Mary's job today of keeping tabs on some 1,500 occupants in three large apartment blocks simply didn't exist back in the 80s. If it had, I imagine we'd probably have had to endure a similar tough love regime.
We have a no-noise policy, and that runs from 12 o'clock at night to 7 in the morning. Certainly there's some students from time to time come in late and make a bit of noise. But
a bit boisterous, bless them.
Perhaps, but that's all part of student life, and we have a dedicated security team 24 hours a day, and they would ensure that they go safely and quietly to their apartments.
And do they keep them clean?
They do. I mean, we do inspections every 6 weeks, with obviously the students know when the inspection dates are coming up, and it would be very rarely that we would actually have any fines.
Will you fine them if they step out of line?
We would have fines for certain items. For instance, if they put posters with sellotape up on the walls, that would mean if the posters were coming down, the paint would be stripped off the walls. So that would be one of the terms and conditions that they would have signed up to, that they wouldn't do something like that.
Okay, that's understandable. Where are we going now?
I'm taking you to your room, which is up in our visitors section, and we're going to go through House 7 here.
I should explain that my original plan was to spend the week living in actual student accommodation to get an accurate picture of their life today in DCU.
Number 3, going up.
What I'd failed to take into consideration, of course, was that being Freshers' Week, all the students were back, and there were no student rooms free. Instead, Mary was taking me to their special VIP accommodation quarters. And funnily enough, I wasn't really complaining.
Oh gosh, this is your apartment. And as you can see, it's a double ensuite room.
All right, okay, very nice. Very bright. How does this differ from the student accommodation? Is it swankier?
Perhaps the suite of furniture is a bit different in that it's cloth, whereas in the student accommodation it would be leather.
Is that just for practical reasons?
That's practical reasons, yeah. They can be wiped clean.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that's great. Thank you very much, Mary. I'll unpack and get started.
Hi, Mary.
Later that evening, with the student union bar in full flow, I went walkabout to meet some real, live, modern-day DCU students.
Oh, hi! Hi. Nice to meet you.
A quartet of young, giddy, first-year girls heading out for the night grabbed my attention.
We're just first years and we're living on campus, so we're loving it now.
Casually dressed, the jeans probably a little baggier than ours and hoodies now ubiquitous, and certainly with a tad more makeup on than I remember my female co-students wearing, I was surprised how little the current credit crunch seemed to be worrying them.
Like, the recession, people are kind of... It's not that they're making out to be bigger than it is, but you can't pick your career based on a recession because you never know how the economy will go. And if you're passionate about something, you can make money in anything you do. Like,
the first thing that hit me over the head when I walked up the avenue today, I saw the multi-story car park. And I believe there's another car park somewhere else.
We were looking for half an hour yesterday for a car park.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who has a car?
Rachel. And I left at like 9 o'clock. Yeah. And I had to just drive around the car park for like a half hour waiting to get a parking space.
So how come you have a car?
Daddy tears.
I got one for my birthday. Because my sister got one for her birthday, so they had to buy me one. So.
Hang on, let me get that right.
Yeah.
You got a car. What age were you when you got the car?
17.
You got a... What kind of car?
Of a Corsa.
Okay, an ordinary car, but still a car. You got a car for your 17th birthday.
Yeah.
She got one too.
She got an even better one.
She got like an 06.
No, we didn't.
What did you get?
A car. A Citroen C4.
For what birthday?
My 17th.
And is that... All right... Maybe I am an old fuddy-duddy. Now, you guys don't have a car.
I have a car.
I don't. I can't drive.
Yeah.
And have you got it with you in DCU?
No, I leave it at home.
Okay. 3 out of 4 of you guys at 17, 18 have cars. And is that the norm?
I think in our secondary school, most people drove.
Really.
Well, there was
at least
a good
20 people.
20, yeah. There's
only about 25 in my year that had cars.
Yeah. All right, so you guys grew up... during the infamous Celtic Tiger.
Yeah.
Do you think you were spoiled rotten?
No.
No.
At all.
I don't think so. I think...
comfortable.
Yeah, I think we're comfortable. But just because there was money when we were growing up doesn't mean that we didn't still, like, get values or any of that kind of stuff.
Job and stuff. I got summer jobs every summer.
Yeah, same.
If you do well in school.
Yeah, exactly. I think if you just were good,
hang on
then
a minute,
you got
guys.
Rewarded.
I studied at school. I did my stuff, and I never got a car.
We were just fortunate, and like it's not
lucky.
And it's not that it's no one saying we didn't appreciate it,
no,
or we don't appreciate it.
You know how lucky you were.
Yeah.
And I didn't ask for it. I wasn't like, oh, ma'am, I want a car right now for 17. Yeah. She just said, do you want one? Because it'd be handy to get off to Dublin, and she knew like I was going to go to college in Dublin.
But I mean, we didn't experience anything other than it, so we never experienced like, we don't know any difference. So I don't think it's fair to be like. Oh,
the Celtic Tiger kids. They're so spoiled.
When, you know, when we didn't. When that's what we grew up with, so.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
As the girls made a beeline for the boisterousness that was the student union bar, I shrugged my old shoulders and shuffled off to bed. The next morning. Hangover free, so it was probably a good call to quit while I was ahead. My first meeting was with a man I hadn't seen in a very long time.
There's a familiar face. Danny O'Hare.
How are you, Pat?
President of DCU from when to when?
Oh, 1977 to 1999. But it was NIHE Dublin.
Do your maths. That's
22 years.
The undoubted driving force behind DCU making the transition 20 years ago to a fully fledged university, Danny's logic at the time was quite simple.
We had these ambitions, which we were realising in reality, of being a degree level institution with serious research, a serious commitment to research. And it became increasingly annoying to us that whenever we would go abroad, particularly to explain what we were, to say NIHE, what's that? And you had to tell people what you were. That became increasingly annoying, and it was really putting us way laps behind the field if we had to explain ourselves to begin with.
So it was more than just
an annoyance. It was impacting on money you were raising.
Oh, absolutely. Fundraising. I mean, we couldn't really seriously engage in fundraising with that title because it wasn't well understood. In fact, at the time, some people thought we were the Northern Ireland Housing Executive.
I always thought that was just a joke.
No, no. It happened once or twice. So you really, if you have to explain what you are, if your title can't express what you are, then there is a difficulty.
Could you have come up with a more imaginative name?
We spent a lot of time on the name, you wouldn't believe that. And had votes and straw polls and consultants' suggestions. And we had literally pages of alternatives from St. Patrick's University of Dublin, acronym SPUD. So that didn't work, to many others. So we went through, literally, I don't know whether it's hundreds, but it was well over 100 anyway, alternatives. And this was the one that people generally were very comfortable with. So it wasn't just a Danny O'Hare idea, although I thought of it well, that it was good. But because Dublin needed to be in the title, university needed to be in the title. We thought of the new University of Dublin, NUD, and that didn't seem very good to us as well. So there were all sorts of reasons why various titles were jettisoned, you know.
Was there confusion at the beginning?
Otherwise, people used to say it was UCD for dyslexics, but then the answer to that was vice versa, so anyway, whatever. It took a while, but then that's part of the challenge, to really give a meaning and a reality to the title that you have. Luckily for Trinity and UCD and so on, their brand name is well known. But as I've said in the past, if you can't be the oldest university in Ireland, it's good to be the youngest one, you know.
Yourselves and Limerick have that in common, UL and yourselves.
Yeah, well, we were mentioned second of all in the Dáil, so we're the newest by about a second.
By about a millisecond. Danny's infectious enthusiasm, a decade on from the end of his tenure here, took me by surprise. I'd certainly never felt any passion about the place. I remember that even though I worked with the student union for a year after I graduated, I felt I'd overstayed my welcome and couldn't wait to leave when I finished. Maybe I'd missed something. Or maybe I just needed to be brought back down to earth by some battle-hardened second and third years who'd been around the block a little. So I headed for a quiet corner of the hub, the Student Union Building. A bright, cheery, functional facility, now showing its age, with a few duct-tape patched-up communal sofas and just a tad too much scuffed paintwork, but which we'd have given our right arms for. I chewed the fat there with a group of willing veterans. Naturally, we kicked it all off with a cliche. Students and booze.
Well, like, it depends on how much money I have and if I'm working at the time. And if I have to get a taxi home, I might not go out because that costs too much. But if I, like, now that the new bar is open downstairs, I'd probably go out a lot more than I should.
Does it become a problem ever?
I suppose it's hard getting up for a 9 o'clock lecture the night after, like, the morning after a big night out, but I don't really think it becomes that much of a problem, really. I think
it's fine. If you can handle your drink, then you're fine. It depends on the person, you know.
It is a real cliche, though, that students and drink kind of go together. Is that accurate, guys?
Yeah, it would be, yeah.
It's their first sense of freedom after getting out of school. Mummy and daddy aren't around to say, be in by 11 o'clock tonight. So
they relax a lot more. They definitely come, especially people coming up from, say, we're moving out of home or moving on campus. They definitely get an awful lot more freedom here than they would have done at home.
Definitely.
So they use that an awful lot more in the first couple of weeks. And you see them then after a while maybe drag out and they start to, wouldn't go out as much then after a couple of weeks and start coming to more lectures.
Is that what you guys did?
No.
So you're still going. How long have you been here?
3 years. This is my third year. I'm repeating second year.
How was living? I mean, that's a new thing to me as well. There were no on-campus residencies when I were in Nipah. And I'm staying in one now, and they're lovely. How are they to live in on a practical day-to-day basis? I mean, a good thing, a bad thing?
In first year, most people are in Larkfield, which is basically a bedroom. You live with one other person, you have your bedroom, and then you have your shared kitchen, which is about the size of...
It's like a prison.
Yeah.
You can fit three people in the kitchen, but you couldn't turn around.
You can't open any presses while you're in there.
You can't open both doors at the same time. Yeah. Like but
at the time, you think, like, it's a palace.
Crack. Like, it's good fun, right? And it's so handy in the morning. Like, you roll out of bed and you're in lecture, like, so... For convenience, for the first years, it's fantastic, like...
What about the rules that govern
you know, living on in on campus? Are they restrictive in any way, or are, do you see the sense of it?
They're really restrictive. Like, you're a licensee over there, so you have no rights. They come into your room at any stage. I got turfed out before because they were doing Rentokil and I was sick. And they turfed me out because they'd already sprayed four of the other apartments in the rooms in the apartment. So I had to get out, otherwise I'd, you know, suffocate on the fumes, you know.
I can understand people wanting to make sure that, you know, you don't trash the place. Yeah. What can you be fined for?
Anything. If you haven't properly cleaned down your toilet, if you haven't properly cleaned your shower, if you've got dirt on the floor, if you've got clothes on the floor, if your kitchen hob isn't perfectly clean and white and sparkling, if your fridge has any little bit of grime in it, everything possible, they will fine you for it if they can. But, like, there's people who get fined for, like, nothing.
One, I suppose, final question. I'm curious about your plans and your prospects.
Stay in college until the recession ends. Yeah. That's the plan.
That's what I'm doing.
Majority of people I know have come back to do masters because there's no jobs out there, so they may as well stay here and live on a pittance because they've been living on nothing out there, so they may as well stay here and enjoy themselves.
I get the impression that none of you are particularly troubled by the recession, or is anyone here worried about it?
Well, we don't know any different, you know what I mean? We've just, all we've been hearing is that there's no jobs, there's no money, but I can imagine 5 years ago, I would be just as scared about trying to find a job, because I've never done it before, so, you know, I can imagine now it's probably made people way more aware of how, you know, they actually need to work to get a job and to keep it, which is probably going to be better for people in the long run, that people are actually going to work the jobs because now they're afraid of losing them.
We're afraid of the future in a lot of ways, and the recession is just one thing on top of that.
It's just a way of life, isn't it? You can't, you know, no one's, like, dreading it or anything. It's just a way of life, and we're all dealing with it in our own way, and there's no, like, panicking about it. It's not going to do any help, like, so just get on with it.
If I'm honest, I had expected the credit crunch to be having a far greater impact on students' thinking. But when I cast my own mind back to the 80s, when the country was in one big, long recession, we didn't give it much thought either. Plus ça change, I suppose.
So, I'll leave my lovely swanky VIP apartment. My computer is... that's fine. Have I got my key pass? I do.
Wednesday morning, I couldn't help wondering about the students' blasé attitude to the recession from the day before. Little did they know, it was going to get a hell of a lot worse. The day began with a quick visit to my old faculty, the School of Communications.
Professor Pascal Preston, that's the man I'm looking for.
Here, Pascal, the current department head, and a new face from my time, sang a very familiar refrain.
We've had to do a restructuring, very belatedly over the summer months, which has reduced the number of options, and we will expect more of the same kind of medicine, unfortunately, in the coming year. That is the inevitable consequence of the current government policies and cutbacks in expenditure for higher education.
So the cutbacks are not just going to affect the School of Communications, they're going to affect all the courses?
All the university, that's right, yeah. And a key issue will be then how does the university allocate its reduced cake, its reduced, you know, base of resources, how it then allocates that amongst the different units and so forth. So if we can get clarity on that fairly early on, which is what we're seeking, then we can hopefully plan to restructure our courses in a way that will minimise that will still kind of maximise the choice, if you like, and the variety of inputs that students will have.
But they're bound to be less choice than they've had in the past.
Inevitably, that will be the case, yeah. And that is where one may need to question the consistency of government policies of those kind of, you know, Ryanair version of higher education versus the idea of a smart economy, which requires more rather than less resources going into higher education.
Ryanair may only have been in its infancy 20 years ago, but depressingly, we knew all too well about cutbacks even then. And maybe it's in times like these that, like everyone else, students turn to more light-hearted affairs. Time, I figured, to revisit my past.
Shay, you don't know it, but you're me.
Following in my illustrious footsteps, Shay McNellish is DCU's current Students' Union events manager, and I sidetracked him during a brief lull in one of his busiest periods of the academic year.
Freshers is great. This year, today has been great. It's been very, very busy. We didn't know how it was going to go. We're very, very nervous. It's the first time that we've been nervous.
Why?
In years, because to come out to events, you need to have money. And students did not have summer jobs this year at all. Normally, we have trouble getting people working for us. We put out an email for a couple of jobs, and we had 350 applications within an hour for a job. So that's how tight it is, you know, with money. Now, you go down to the bar today, you'll tell me that that's not the issue because it's rams down there already. Like, but you really have to work for getting them in now, you know. It's not as easy as it was.
He had a point. As we headed off to inspect the hub's impressive entertainment facilities, I remembered that when I was in his shoes, GCU was a fraction of the size it is now, and except for small weekly discos, there wasn't really much demand for gigs outside of Freshers or Rag Week. At least ticket sales today were looking good, if the long queue outside the student union office was anything to go by.
Tonight's Freshers Ball, sold out yesterday, which is great in this economy, selling things out. I could sell another 1,000 tickets easily if I wanted tonight.
I remember when I used to run things here, and selling out was brilliant, but it was also a slight pain in the rear end because you knew you were disappointing a lot of people.
Yeah, but it's the best advertisement you can have. It's the best marketing tool you can have. Like, the first thing we'll do when we sell out is send out emails.
Just put on an old band here and there and a disco here and there.
You can't do that anymore, Pat.
I also wasn't able to send out emails to tell people it was sold out because, I do believe email wasn't invented back then. Certainly, we hadn't emailed.
Send pigeons out those days.
Is alcohol a big thing with students all year? I mean, I know I'm here for Freshers Week.
No, I don't think so. Alcohol, it's not like it used to be that students were drinking all the time. Like, we'd find the gym is the most popular place on campus. They're all mad into their bodies and looking after themselves now. So it's not a big thing at all.
Have you ever worked out or tried to work out based on sales and dividing it by students what average student consumption is?
Well, the average on an event now per student on an event is €10. Considering the drinks average between 4 and 4.50, it's not a lot, you know. It's perhaps 2-3 drinks.
That's very sensible.
Yeah, it is sensible.
Is that recession based, do you think?
I don't think it's. I think that has crept in right across the country, and most bars will tell you that it's that's got to do with they're out drinking at home before they come here. You know, so off trade licenses or off trade business is huge, you know, and that's right across. They come in later. We try and get them in early, but now that's if you average it off. You'll still get some people who'll overdo it.
Over the years, I've heard more and more of this stocking up before heading out, but I don't really remember us doing it. We'd get a few cans in the off license on the way home for after the pub, but never for before.
Hey, how you doing?
To witness it in action, I invited myself to one of the many pre-ball parties that were kicking off throughout the campus accommodation blocks. And it seems Shea was right.
What's the story on the Freshers Ball? Is that an important event?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Absolutely. It's the first big event of the whole calendar, isn't it?
And we're not tired, really.
It's like in the first week of college, obviously all the courses are being really, really relaxed.
None of
the lectures really mind if you don't come into college tomorrow.
Here's what's on
the
drunk.
Well, you were the ones who brought it up. How important is booze in the college campus? Who's it not important to?
I don't drink.
Standing here at the back of this mob that I'm
in.
The things they come out with when they're drunk as well, it's hilarious.
What's the story with the Freshers Ball tonight?
Have a great time.
Could you go to it sober?
You're all going sober.
Yeah, but I know those four are.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah,
good. I'm talking about
you could go, but it'd be horrible.
And with that, we were off. As we strolled the short distance to the hub, I wondered if we were as loud and as noisy when we were their age. Probably. Something told me, once again, I wasn't going to be having a late one.
So guys, now that you're here, what's the plan?
Sorry?
I said, now that you're... Yeah, I know, I can't hear you either. So now that you're here, what's the plan for the night?
Wait until more people come.
It's very... I was going to say it's quiet. It's loud, but there are not many people here.
It's really empty. Surprising.
But apparently it's so loud, so they should get busy eventually.
Well, I think
it's a bit early.
Yeah, no, I think we came thinking this thing was starting at 9, but it's really starting at 10. 11, so
11, half 11, all the crowd will come in. Like, so what time are you going to stay out until tonight?
I paid for my ticket, so I'm staying out until the door's closed.
Which is what time?
I think two.
Two,
I think, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's reasonable.
Half two, I think I'm going to get kicked
out. I might not last that long, but that's very sensible.
It is, but... Yeah, we've all got more drink back at the house now. Yeah.
Oh, so when this all finishes, are there then parties back at people's...
There would be. You'd have to find where they are, but there would be parties somewhere.
Not for the first time this week, I felt, well, more a fish out of water than old and sober, and realised there was no point in even pretending to be part of the gang. By the time the late-night parties were kicking off, I was safely tucked up in bed. The next day, Thursday... I arranged to meet up with some of the students I met throughout the week.
Well, there's a familiar bunch. How are you doing, guys?
First up were those chatty first years, only slightly the worse for wear after the previous night's shenanigans.
I feel like I've been here all my life.
Same, yeah. I think we just, like, integrated straight away, and it's so much fun. Like, it's brilliant. The only thing is, I'm so tired. Yeah. It's exhausting.
But that being tired is because of the social life.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if you had the social life during the summer, at least you'd be able to...
Sleep in the morning, but you've lectures to go to.
Yeah, but we've lectures, so it's harder.
The perennial problem of being a student.
Yeah.
Ideally now, what would you guys hope to happen over the coming weeks and for the rest of the year?
I'm not really sure. I suppose I'd hope that I'm able for my course and that I don't, you know, fall behind or, like, kind of struggle with any particular aspect of it. Also that... You know, that we keep having a great time and that, you know, make friends and get involved with the college and different clubs and societies and just enjoy my time here and then obviously have a job at the end of it.
You're optimistic. Are you beginning already now to think of the recession? Because no one was when I was talking to you guys the other day.
No.
You're still not?
No.
Stop with the R word.
You're in denial.
Yeah. Well, I suppose you would, like, towards the end of the week, I suppose, you'd start, like, noticing
money
your money.
Left now.
Yeah.
But my mum's sending me more money.
Like, we have to survive.
Yeah.
Have you all overspent a little in your first week?
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Really bad.
Yeah, understand. It's so hard when you're tired in the evening to think of, like, making a dinner. Nobody does it. Like, it's just, it just ends up being anything, really.
What are you surviving on?
Tins of tuna, pasta, yogurt.
Did you eat my yogurt?
Yeah, your yogurt.
Yeah. I just eat brown bread and popcorn. That's it. Yeah. Just brown bread and popcorn.
So what about the rooms themselves? Have you gotten used to them?
Yeah, kind of. Still hate it though.
It's a bit of an adjustment. Like, the shower isn't great.
Curtain sticks to you when you're having a shower. Oh, it's so dreadful. Annoying.
And then the water goes all over the floor. Yeah. Oh, and then you have to, like, you nearly have to bring an extra towel just to mop up the floor.
Yeah, like. You don't have that many towels, like. Yeah. I only have, like, four towels.
Yeah, that's a bit annoying. Yeah.
Oh my god, the nightlife for Larkfield so outweighs the badness of the room. Yeah,
what kind of nightlife are we talking about?
I mean, every night there's, you know, something on. Or, like, last night there was a bit of, after the ball, you know, like, there's always, like, someone in their apartment has, you know, a bit of a sing-song or whatever. And they're always fun.
That's great.
It's unreal.
Just don't tell the security guards.
Yeah.
Are there very strict rules?
Yeah. They charge you, fine you, like, €80 or something if there's an extra person in your room.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be breaking too many of them, or you'd be broke. But I suppose one thing, when you have free time, it's weird, like, because you don't really know what to be doing with it.
unless, like, you know, in secondary school you always got told, here's exactly what you should be doing this, that or the other, whereas here it's kind of like out of your own initiative, whether you do or don't do it.
They'd already figured out the main difference between secondary school and university after less than a week here. I was impressed. I was equally impressed that Kieran, whose party I'd gatecrashed the night before, was also in talkative mood.
Hello?
Kieran, hi, it's Pat.
All right,
got it, thanks. Hey, how you doing?
Thanks.
All right, how are you?
Not too bad.
Seeing his apartment now in the cold light of day, it wasn't all that different from the VIP room I'd been put up in for the week. Just a bit more basic. Kieran agreed.
It's not exactly the Hilton, but it is very homely.
Functional as well.
Very functional.
And what's the communal area like in here?
Messy at the minute. Like my bedroom, messy at the minute. I'll do the washing up sometime. There's two sofas, table, five seats, and then just a small kitchen, sort of all in one.
How does it work? Do people buy their own food? Do you share food? Who organises the cooking? Who organises the cleaning?
Well, in our particular flat, we buy all our own food. As for cleaning, well, generally, at the start of the week, because we sort of were all just new back into the game and everybody didn't really know each other as well, we were tending to clean as you go. But at the minute, see the way things are piled up, one of us, I'll just say, I'll probably start washing up and then I'll ask Aisling, who's here, just could you dry up, and it'd be grand. Mm. You just do it. I mean, there's no problem ever with cleaning. Not at the minute, anyway. But
I presume it's the kind of thing people could fall out over if someone isn't pulling their weight.
Yeah, if someone isn't pulling their weight. But if someone isn't pulling their weight, then they'd have to give a very, very good reason.
What's here now that isn't supplied, that doesn't come with the flat? What have you to bring yourself?
A lot. Pretty much everything. The list that is supplied is shorter than the list that isn't. The couches, the tables, the chairs, obviously all supplied. Microwave and fridge supplied, all the cupboards, cooker, that's it. And then after that, utensils, pots, pans, glasses, towels, bin bags, television, PlayStation, and all the beer we have to buy ourselves.
I do notice
formation, a
display of empty, I presume, beer cans,
yes,
and cider cans on the
they'd have to be gone by the inspection as well.
Of course.
They may not be the Hilton, and I wonder if falling rents beyond the college gates will impact on their take-up in the coming years. But I know that if we'd had apartments like these 20-odd years ago, we'd have bitten your hand off to get one. And then suddenly, my stay was nearly over. Friday was my last day, and I rambled over to the Helix, DCU's very striking arts and performance centre, for a pick-me-up coffee.
Cappuccino, yeah, no problem. From here, takeaway?
I got slightly more than I bargained for.
Peter, you just served me a cafe latte in the Helix. But you're a graduate.
I am, yeah.
What's the story?
I finished last May. I studied multimedia here in DCU.
And you're serving coffees in the Helix?
Yeah, basically, it's just tough at the moment, really, to find any work. There's a few people from my class, you know, who've kind of been lucky enough to find employment. But then, you know, like the vast majority of people I'm talking to are kind of just, you know, working in bars and pubs and shops and wherever they can. Like, one girl from my class, I was talking to her and she said, like, all she's doing to make money is babysitting. Like,
these are all people with degrees?
All people with honours degrees, yeah.
So you've graduated into a recession?
I have, yeah. But yeah, it's tough to find work, especially within media. Like,
is immigration a possibility?
Immigration is a possibility, but to be honest, I wouldn't emigrate unless I was sure of work, because you know, it's expensive to emigrate. There's no point in emigrating to Britain because, you know, they're going through the same stuff as us, and America seems to be the same as well. Like, but Canada and Australia are the two countries I'm hearing that most people are going to, but I mean, it could cost, like, you know, two or three, even more. thousand like to
it's a big commitment, isn't it?
It is a big commitment, yeah. And if you spend all that money and just you know, you just move over and you can't find work, like, that's kind of money down the drain. Like, so there are, you know, several guys who are, you know, they're kind of like, they're doing little niches here and there. Like, I'd be one.
They're freelancing.
The same as well. Like, freelancing, yeah, but not to the extent where you can make a living off it, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like maybe you do a job a month, if you're lucky, like, or, you know, you could get more than that. Like, I was lucky enough for the summer, I was freelancing, shooting and editing for a company. Like, so that was, you know, that was good, but, like, that was only 1 month's work. Well, it wasn't even a month's work, but...
But you got paid for it, but...
I did, yeah.
But it was short-term.
Short-term, like, and this... You know, lucky to get it, really, because there's so many people who, you know, have nothing, like...
And if you're still serving cafe lattes in 2 or 3 years, would you be sorely disappointed?
Oh, I'd be extremely disappointed, yeah. I'd be, I don't know, that's not a possibility I want to see happening, like, you know, I'd be so, like, you know, disenfranchised with the whole, with everything, really. Like, I'd be spent, like, four years in DCU and, like, 4 hard years and put in a lot of work.
If things don't pick up, what are your plans?
I don't know. I've always said I'd go into the family business, which is teaching. I don't know. I've always kind of seen it as a... kind of a, I don't know, an easy, not an easy way out, but kind of a last chance saloon kind of thing. You know, go do teaching and join the rest of the family as a teacher, kind of.
You'd have to go back to college for that again.
Yeah, I would, yeah. I'd have to go back to 18 months post-grad, like. But I think I'd enjoy it, but I'd much prefer to be working in the industry that I want to work in. But then again, if I go and do a post-grad in teaching, like, and... I know we're better to be during the recession than in university, like, or in college. Like,
good luck with it. I hope next time I come back here, I don't get a coffee from you.
Yeah.
Not that your coffee is rubbish. Coffee's fine, but, you know, fingers crossed.
Yeah, thanks very much.
No, thank you. Thanks a million. Thanks for taking the time.
As a freelancer myself, my heart went out to Peter. As I left, I assured him that when I started out, I endured a lengthy, soul-destroying period on and off the dole, where I seriously doubted I'd ever make a living in the media. But I didn't envy him just starting out now. It really is a jungle out there. And that was my week back in DCU complete. So what exactly did I learn during my 5 days there? Well, it's certainly now a more impressive campus than the one I left in the 80s, with far better facilities and a growing international reputation. It recently made the prestigious Global Top 300 Universities chart. And the people I met are as varied a bunch as were there back in the day. But 20 years on from gaining university status, it was depressing to see them once again facing into similarly bleak and uncertain, no, worse, economic times. Sure, students now may have more cars clogging up the car parks, they may be wearing more fashionable clothes, and they may be partying like it's 1989. But I don't think they really have a clue what's around the corner. And when it hits, it won't be pleasant. Maybe that was the uneasy feeling I had when I arrived Monday morning. Maybe I suspected the worst. I hope I'm wrong. Maybe I'll find out in another 20 years.